Faith tests brings miracles. Faith tests brings miracles. Can you say with me this morning, I need a miracle? Come on. I need a miracle. And I believe Jesus for a miracle. What you believe determines how you live. If Jesus is number one, it leads you to everything else you do. You love Him, your family, your church, then on into your other priorities, but He's first. If instead your love is reserved for self, then that leads to different priorities. If you knew you only had a few days to live, what would you do with your time? What would you say to whom, and would you make any changes? I urge you, if you would, make those now, okay? Make those now. Matthew 24 tells us to endure, to watch, to pray, to be ready. He tells us there will be floods and earthquakes, terrible difficulties, and no one knows what the day and hour will be. We need His presence, church. We need a miracle. Explosions, bombs, terrorists, kidnapping. Did you know there's raping of women and girls in Europe and in England being sold into sex trafficking by the hundreds missing? Child grooming gangs are around where adults win a child's confidence, and turn that into a usually issue of sex slavery. Some have escaped, and they've come back to talk about the horrific life of prostitution. Some of them have been captured, and this is happening because of the male's belief system in some of these places. And it's too politically correct nowadays to talk about some of the and it's not everyone by any means, but by the Muslim radical perspectives that believes this is all right. But it's gone on for generations right here in America. Did you know Seattle is one of the places where women are captured and taken into that kind of thing? And you look at this and you go, God, what are you going to do about all this? And we've had 5 hurricanes in the last month, a 1,000-year flood take place. And we've had, 4 major earthquakes in Mexico, I think, in just the last 2 weeks. And nation against nation, and Korea, North Korea, saber rattling. And did you know, by the way, as you consider North Korea, don't just think of trying to destroy these people. They were birthed in 50 years of major fantastic revival at the turn of the century in the 1900s. It was incredible revival. And then something happened to overtake it. Pray again. God, move by your spirit again. Pour out revival again. Save the people who are in charge of that nation. And how about the people in our own nation? How many know, God, we need a miracle right here in America. We need a miracle of your presence. We need a miracle of revival. Oh God, we're not satisfied with the status quo, but we refuse to turn to fear, and we refuse to turn to anxiety over the chaos and confusion and terrorism. What we turn to instead is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lamb of Glory, the one who gets all our praise. The only one who can heal the human heart is Jesus. It's Jesus. Lord, we need your revival. I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of things that I really have somewhere important I want to take us. September 23, yesterday, some of you may have heard about the great sign. It's been written about for quite some time. God instructs in Genesis that the stars and the feasts of the Lord are, Hebrew words, moed, signs for us, our instructions to show us something. The skies show us the signs, not of astrology, that's wicked, but of astronomy and reality and the constellations. You go back to Job and go back to places in the scripture where the same names of the constellations were used as signs to guide and instruct God's people. Right now, as of September 23, 2017, an event occurred in the heavens that has never been seen, or perhaps only one other time in human history, and may never happen again. On Wednesday night, this Wednesday, I invite you at 6:30 p.m. to Grace Gathering at our home at 240 Maple Lane, and I'm going to show you a video about this so you're a little more aware. Because we never proclaim the end of the world. We're not date setters who say the world's ending. That's not the whole point, and nor was it the point when we talked about the blood moons. But it was something that captures the attention of God's people, and God's people say, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm just going to be ready. Come on. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm just going to be ready. In 1217, Judah ben Samuel, a rabbi in Israel, saw out into the future for the remaining number of jubilees that there would be. And he declared about the jubilees, and the jubilee was every 7 years was a Sabbath, if you will, and seven of those made a 49th year plus one, the 50th year, became the Jubilee year. And the Jubilees had incredible fulfillment of the vision that this man saw. I'm simply putting it here for your information. He talked about, concerning Jerusalem, in 1217 he had a vision, the next 300 years of the way it would be, and then the Turks would take control, the Ottoman Turks. And he said in his vision, saw in his vision before the Lord, that there would be 400 years of Ottoman control. Church, there was exactly 400 years of Ottoman control. Then the Turks lost Jerusalem in 1917, the Balfour Declaration. And his vision that he saw Jerusalem as a no man's land. No one had control of it. And in fact, they would call it no man's land, a stripe going right down the middle of the city and the middle of the valley there. And on one half would be the Jewish side, the other half would be the other side, and they called it no man's land. And then in 1967, he saw after one more jubilee that it would be the Israeli control of the land. That's exactly what happened. Exactly. And then he said, you'd have 50 years and come to an end. Now, the date on here is the way it worked out according to the calendar. What am I saying? The end of the world! I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's time for us, if we're not, to continue to be ready. Are you trying to terrify us, Pastor Kim? Trying to scare us? No, not at all. I'm trying to say we just need to be ready, right? No matter what God is doing, you have people lost and dying all around you. Family, friends, cul-de-sacs, on the blocks in our communities. We have revival to pray for, to usher in, to work for. We have hungry people to feed and mouths to encourage and people that we have suffering people. And the Christians are supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing all along. Occupy till he comes. Occupy, do business till he comes. Being his representatives on earth. Turn to each other and say, be a great representative for Jesus. Luke 21, 25 and 26 declare that these things, he prophesies in the last days will be these signs in the heavens, seas and waves will roar, and there'll be distress among the nation, declares men's hearts will fail from fear. And then it concludes in 27, 28, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Who's your Redeemer? Come on, who's your Redeemer?
Jesus.
We need his miraculous, miraculous revival. We need Jesus to show up. And Mark Batterson, kind of a renowned author and pastor in Washington, D.C., says he shows up and he shows off. We need him to show up and show off. We need him to do what only he can do. I'm going to ask you three questions this morning. Number one, what are you expressing? Come on, say it with me. What are you expressing? What are you saying? What are you declaring? What are you sharing? The reality is, your life and mine, we are giving birth to something. Is it the offspring of fear or the offspring of faith? What are you expressing? Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, the reference is up there. Out of the New King James says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Out of the Message, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Come on, say it with me. God can do anything. We either believe that or we don't. Jesus always knows what he's doing, church. When he's doing it and how he's going to accomplish it. He always knows. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment. Every eye closed. None of this. Every eye closed right now. I want you to say to yourself, he's doing a miracle in me right now. Come on, say it out. He's doing a miracle in me right now. Now look. Now you can open your eyes, both of them. If you define your life by your worst mistakes and problems, instead of by his grace and power, then you give birth to fear-based living. Every one of us in this room, I don't care how good you are, if you refuse to admit it, you're full of pride. Every one of us has been a dumb doofus at times. Sorry, I don't mean to offend your finer sensibilities. We've all been there. We're all there from time to time. But if you define your life by your worst mistakes and problems instead of by, come on, his grace and power, then you give birth to fear-based living. Eyes on yourself, focused on yourself, instead of looking up to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. We need to lift our vision. We don't need to hide our heads from what's going on, but we need to see that Jesus has invested his life, his power, his Holy Spirit's anointing in us. He's able to move through us. Oh, Lord, move by your power. Lord, we need your miracle today. Luke 6, verses 45. Second part says, his mouth, talking about a person, an individual, speaks from that which fills his heart. Out of the NIV, out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Lord, I believe you. Out of their heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus does a miracle. Let's see an example. Now, Martha loses a brother and gains a new alive faith. The section of scripture is John 11, 23 through 27. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are best friends of Jesus, not as disciples, but they're disciples of another sort. They're not part of the 12, but they're closest friends. Jesus retreats to their house all the time when he really wants to escape and get blessed and refreshed. Lazarus gets sick. Jesus, you should know, is only a couple miles away. He's only a couple of miles away. So he gets a report, Lazarus is sick. And he goes, okay. Doesn't move. Wait a minute, Jesus, don't you get it? Lazarus is sick. He goes, well, he's asleep. And his disciples, who were, like we are many times, asleep, say, well, that's good if he's snoring. If he's getting a good snooze, that's okay. And Jesus said, look, he's dead, but I'm going to go do a miracle. Jesus, we need you to be our miracle worker. He comes into the scene in John 11, 23 through 27 is the section where Jesus says, Martha, he speaks to her first. This is with Martha especially. Your brother will rise again. Because she goes to him. She says, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Come on. You ever had a time where, Lord, if you had come through, that thing wouldn't have happened? So Martha says to Jesus, I know that he will rise again on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Say this with me. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's to come into the world. I believe. Now look. In this section of Scripture, what we see is Jesus, the Lord of all, who wants the expression of your faith in mine. He wants to hear it from us. You can say, well, he knows my prayers. He knows my thoughts. He knows my thing. He says, Martha, tell me out loud. What do you believe? What you confess, what you declare, what you sing. You refuse to sing. You refuse to lift up his name in worship. You're not going to find much help in the strength of the Lord that day. Because what worship does is lift your heart from yourself and from your problem onto him. You're big enough to help me, Lord. I love you. I worship you. I turn my eyes from myself. Lord, in you I put my faith. You're everything to me. Oh, God, you're the deliverer. You're the strength. You're the redeemer. You're the one who washed me clean by the blood. You're the one who saved me, redeemed me, and took me out of the pit of hell. I'm not going the devil's way anymore. You're the one who forgives me, oh God. And when you worship, don't you take your eyes off yourself? So, as for me, I don't ever want to withdraw from worship. I worship you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. Tell me, Martha, vocalize your faith. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And tell me you believe in me. Say it. Confess it with your mouth. Jesus wants your mouth to engage with your faith and declare that he is real, that he knows you, sees you. I know you know me, Lord. He's love. He's life. He's able. No matter how bad it looks, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, loss of life. Martha was facing. Now look, Martha faced not only the death of her brother, with whom she was immensely close, but in that day, probably her only meal ticket in that male culture was that man who could provide for them. What now? Looks bad, Lord. And on top of it all, you could have come through, Jesus. Regardless, what do you express, Martha? Jesus says, tell me, what do you believe? Do you believe this? Now, this is what she says. Basically, Lord, in theory, I believe you will do a miracle someday. That my brother will be resurrected. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in you. I believe you are well able someday to do this stuff. That's her expression. And that's her expectancy. And I'm not critical of her because I've been right there. Haven't you? Right there. What are you expressing? He wants to hear it from you this morning. I believe you, Lord, and I receive your miracle today. What are you expecting? What are you expressing? What are you expecting? But Jesus said, wait a minute, Martha, I'm not just your miracle for someday. I'm your miracle for today. Come on, I'm your miracle now, Jesus said. I'm your miracle now. Say it with me. I'm your miracle now. Jesus says, I'm your miracle today. John 11, verses 38 and 40. 38 through 40. Jesus, again groaning in himself, comes to the tomb. It was a cave. He got angry when Mary comes to him and she comes. She says, again, you could have saved my brother. And people are all kind of flocking around. What's Jesus going to do now? And he's angered. I think he's angered at the devil who stole life. He's a thief, a liar, and a murderer from the beginning, and he stole life, and he tried to harm the body of Christ, and he tried to harm Jesus' friends. And Jesus doesn't like it when the devil comes along to try to harm you. Someone say amen. Jesus doesn't like that. What are you expecting? Jesus, again groaning in himself, comes to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, who had just said, "You know, Lord, I believe you're able someday," in essence. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench. He stinks. He's been dead for 4 days." All right, guys, ever have a sister that thought you stunk too? Jesus said to her, "Hey, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Do you believe Jesus wants to meet you today?" "No, no, someday. Yeah, sure, I know he'll come through." Now, I got to tell you, you and I both know, he doesn't always do what we like. Doesn't always do what we want. But he's always on the scene. Today. Come on, church. Say it with me. Today. Today. And he says, "Martha, didn't I say you'd see the glory of God? If you gave birth to your actual expectancy, what would you see? What would it be? A fully alive, vibrant, healthy offspring of faith? What do you expect?" Jesus required from Martha her statement of belief. She just declared it. But now, I'm not critical of Martha, because here's what's true in all of our lives. She had no idea how big Jesus' plan was. Come on, she had no idea. She says, "I believe you're able." Come on, Jesus says, "You believe it?" She says, "I believe you're able. I'm convinced. I'm a Christian. I believe it for someday." He says, "I got so much more than what you think I can do. I got so much more I want to do for you. I love you so much, I'm going to strengthen you and help you because you're mine." He knows what you're going through. It's one thing to believe it in your head, but Jesus wants to show up for you today. Your belief will be tested by Jesus to help you grow. He goes beyond your objections. It can get uncomfortable. Sometimes life stinks, just like she said. He stinks. Sometimes it stinks. It can get embarrassing. And people might say to you, "You mean you put your faith in a God you can't see?" Yeah. He goes beyond our objections. He goes beyond our comfort zone. But he does not only what's natural, but what's supernatural. If you refuse to believe in a supernatural God, then you're going to limit what God can do in your own life. Is he bigger than your objections? Yes, he is. And my prayer is that he'll show himself to you. Show off, Lord. Do a miracle for us. But don't accept, I'm here to urge you, don't accept an anemic faith or a teaching that doesn't see the Bible as true and alive today. Come on, church. That doesn't see Jesus as fully Lord, as fully in charge, as he truly is. He's able. But he's our today God, not just tomorrow God. He's not a dead idol that can't see or can't hear. You got kids following the example of sports stars all across our nation, making idols out of stars and stage, screen, music, and sports. And God's clearing the camp. God's clearing the middle ground of comfort zone. I said he's clearing the comfort zone. "Have no idols before me," says God. And I pray the Lord gives great courage to those who are Christians in every occupation, in every field, to stand true for his word. Church, I want to encourage you today. Let Jesus prove himself to you. Let Jesus prove himself to you. What are you expressing? What are you expecting? And thirdly, what are you experiencing? What are you experiencing? Don't limit God. Don't define him by your weakness or misunderstandings. Don't define him just by your experiences. Well, I tried that once and it didn't happen. Hey, I've seen people we prayed for over and over and over again pass away, but go right on into the presence of Jesus. I don't believe that that limits God's ability to heal, because I've seen miracles too. And with everybody who comes for prayer, we pray and we believe God for miracles, because he's the God of today who's still alive today. Somebody say, I need a miracle today. And my God is able. What are you expressing? What are you experiencing? Expressing, expecting, experiencing. John 11 tells us that when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Come on, Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Jesus is saying to you this morning, men and women of God, loose them and let them go. Come on, say it with me. Loose them and let them go. Jesus is saying it now. Be loosed and be let go. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Do you believe in a God of miracles, in Jesus today? All of a sudden, Jesus moves from theory to practice. Class in theology, 350 or 101 or whatever it was, moved to reality, the practicum. Loose him. All of a sudden, the supernatural became real and tangible and touchable. A miraculous reality, an intervention of Jesus today. And it was so real. It was so real that everyone all around Lazarus began to come to Jesus because they saw the miracle right in front of their eyes. So much so that those who wanted to arrest Jesus said, oh, by the way, we better round up this guy too, who was raised from the dead, because everybody's believing in Jesus because of him. We're going to arrest them both and we're going to kill them both. Well, I didn't promise you there wouldn't be any heat if you're identified with Jesus. But what do we believe? When it comes right down to it, before God, what do we believe? I'm not just talking about bad news. You got to see the bad news. You got to see what's happening. Suffering people all around need a real life Christian in front of them, helping them, giving them a drink of water and helping pull their baby from the rubble. Christians are the ones who lead the causes around the earth and have done the hospitals and done the healing ministries. And Christians are the ones to come and give hope and the gospel when it seems awfully dark. When islands of the Caribbean have been wiped off the face of the planet, there are Christians who are there to help and serve. And thank God, people representing us, and we stand with them. Jesus is alive and well. Say it with me. Jesus is alive and well. Lord, say it with me. Lord, I believe you for your miracles today. If you believe it, I want you to stand with me right now and raise your hands. Stand with me right now and raise your hands. Say, Lord, I believe you for your miracles today. Once again, Lord, I believe you for your miracles today. As you stand, he's going to ask you to express it. And that's what you're doing when you say, I believe you, Lord. Say it again. I believe you, Lord. He wants you to expect him. Say it with me. I see you, Lord. And he wants you to experience it right now by faith. Come on, say it with me. Right now by faith, I receive your miracle. Your presence, your healing, your deliverance, your cleansing, your forgiveness, and I give you praise, and I give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your praise. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. I believe you. Now, I also believe that while we've prayed this morning, Jesus has done some supernatural things right here, right now, in your life. What are you expressing? What are you expecting? What are you experiencing? And remember, for those who might say, Kevin, my faith isn't enough. There was a man who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus healed his daughter. Thank God Jesus sees right beyond our limitations. Amen? Amen. He's worthy. Father, I thank you for speaking to us this morning. And as we go from this place after celebration, we're not leaving yet. But as we go from this place, we go knowing you're our miracle working God. Today. Someone say it with me. Today. Come on again. Today. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, give him some applause. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe you. We believe you. Lord, and we thank you for doing what you're doing in the hearts and lives and minds and hearts of your people and in their bodies. We trust you in Jesus' name. Try to give you a 3-pattern directive of how to go from this place with declaration, faith, and belief. We love you and thank you for your miracles today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.